Hi, I'm Oscar, and I've come here today to explain the events of the trial and how everything unfolded. I've been waiting for this day for months, because today is the day where everything goes down. About 3 months ago, a boy was convicted of stabbing his father to death. The boy claimed that he was at the movies when all this went down, but all the neighbors claimed that they heard or saw the killing take place. The wound in the father's chest was a down-and-in motion of a switchblade knife. This boy does have criminal experience, but there is a reasonable doubt in my mind that he's innocent. Over the past 3 months, I've been reviewing this case of the boy stabbing his father to death. And to be honest with you, I think he's innocent. Okay, so the boy supposedly killed his father with a knife that he supposedly stole. And his only alibi is that he went to the movies that day, but he couldn't remember the actors in the movie, only the name. Imagine you're a young boy, and you had to remember a movie you saw and the leading actors and actresses in it from weeks ago. You see the problem here? Studies show that you are less likely to remember things when nothing significant happened that day. There are witnesses in this case. The witnesses are an old man and a woman. The old man claimed that he heard the boy and his father fighting. Later, he heard the boy shout, "I'm going to kill you." After that, he heard something hit the floor. The old man also claimed after he heard an object hit the floor, he got up, walked out of his bedroom and down a hallway in about 15 seconds to then see the boy run down the stairs. This doesn't make any sense because the man needed help getting in the stand, let alone get up and walk down a 40-foot hallway in 15 seconds. Did you remember what happened that night?
I was in my apartment minding my own business when I heard fighting from upstairs.
Is this something new or has this happened before in the past?
There have been fights in the past, but nothing as bad as that night.
What happened after that?
Well, I heard the boy shout, "I'm going to kill you." Then a few moments later, it sounded like something slammed on the floor. I was worried because I thought the kid would never do a thing. Then I heard a sound like someone sprinting, so I got up and walked down the hallway, spot the boy in the apartment above me.
Was there anything else going on around this time?
Well, it was about 9 o'clock, so the train came passing by.
What did you do after you heard the body fall?
I got up, walked out of my bedroom, out of my apartment, and into the hallway, and saw the boy running.
What was the time from you getting up to seeing the boy in the hallway?
I don't really know.
Just give me an estimate.
I'd say about 15 seconds, give or take.
This is very important. The old man claims that it took him 15 seconds to get up, walk out his bedroom, walk through and out of his entire apartment, and hobble down a 40-foot hallway with a cane in his hand. This is our first case of reasonable doubt. The old man couldn't have physically walked down that hallway in 15 seconds, let alone 20 or 30 seconds. Those 15 crucial seconds can turn the whole case around, because in those 15 seconds, if they never happened, then the old man wouldn't have seen the boy, and the boy would have never shouted, "I'm going to kill you." And then the question is, was the boy even in the apartment building, and was the old man lying for attention? Now, a word from our sponsors. Have you ever wanted to make a podcast with you and all your friends? Well, now you can with Anchor. Anchor is an app that helps you make professional podcasts with anyone. You can also use Anchor for school projects from your English teachers. It's a great and fun way to have fun making podcasts. Now, back to the show. I decided to have a personal meeting with this boy to see what he would say if I asked him specific questions. When I talked to the boy, he seemed like a sweet, innocent kid. Nothing about this boy sticks out to me that he would be a murderer. But then again, looks can be deceiving.
Out of all people that they would convict of the murder, they think it was me. What motivation would I have to kill my own father? Even if he wasn't the greatest man, he was always there for me and provided for me in what poor conditions we were living in.
What do you remember from the night your father was killed?
I really don't remember much. It was just a normal night to me. I went to the movies with some friends, and then I went home.
Do you remember what actors were starring in the film that you watched?
No, I don't remember. Like I said, it was just another night to me. No events prior to my father being killed stuck out to me. It was an average film with average actors that did not do anything special enough to remember for a long time after.
The boy seems to not remember much about this night, and you can take that one of two ways. If he's innocent, his story makes sense. Everything was just a normal day to him. How could he possibly remember events from a random day 3 months ago? But also, this could seem skeptical. He doesn't remember anything from the day that he supposedly killed his father. How convenient. He must be guilty.
I understand how my story could seem a little suspicious, but I'm just not sure what I'm supposed to do about it. How could I possibly remember events from a random day 3 months ago? I can't. It's impossible.
How about the knife? When did you purchase it and why?
I purchased the knife the night that my father was killed. I purchased it because I am pretty handy with knives. I like to toy around with them. Me and my friends enjoy messing around like we are professional knife fighters. I went to the movies at 10 o'clock that evening and returned at 12 to find myself in handcuffs. I didn't even have the knife that long. On my way to the theater, it must have fallen out of a hole in my pocket. I never saw it again after that. Also, the wound that was described in my father's chest was a down and in motion. Anybody who has ever used a switchblade knife that actually knows what they're doing would never handle it that way. You would lose too much time flipping it open, switching hands, and flipping the knife the opposite direction to stab someone. It is designed to flip open the way it does for a reason, and that's just... There's not much for me to do anymore. I've tried almost everything.
This is a very important piece of evidence right here. The boy describes how if you know how to use a switchblade, you would never go down an ant. I know it's pretty suspicious if he knows how to use a knife, but it makes sense what he's saying. It wastes a lot of time flipping and making and turning it. This is yet again another piece of reasonable doubt. Now, let's move on to the second witness in this case, the woman across the street. Hello, how are you doing?
Great, how about you?
I'm doing well. Now let's begin. You claim to have seen the boy kill his father, correct?
Yes, I saw the boy kill his father.
How?
I rolled over and through the last two windows of the L train I saw it.
How did he kill him? Any movement suggests strangling? Knife?
Yes, he seemed to have used a knife.
When did this happen?
In the night. I can't remember a time.
Could I have an estimate?
I'd say around 10:30, 11 o'clock.
Now, I noticed you have a glasses imprint. Were you wearing your glasses at the time you saw the murder?
No, I was not. Nobody sleeps with glasses.
What are the glasses for?
Impaired vision.
Right here is our second piece of reasonable doubt. Nobody wears glasses to bed, right? Why do you need glasses? Because you can't see. The woman rolled over in bed and saw the murder happen through the last two windows of the L train. There is no way she put on her glasses in time to roll over and see the murder. So now, we don't know if the boy was even in his apartment at the time of the murder because the woman was half blind. The woman couldn't have been able to tell which person is which, or even if a murder happened. Now the case is in question, because we don't know if the woman saw anything, and if the boy was even there because of the old man's handicap. There are too many cases of reasonable doubt that the boy can be proved not guilty. The jurors have decided to have a vote. There were some mishaps in between votes. They voted over and over again. And in the end, it ended up being a unanimous decision that the boy was not guilty. They let the boy go and everyone went home. Check out the next case on the episode of The Boys Podcast. And thank you to Anchor for sponsoring this episode.